From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And expounding Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns has arrived at chapter 6. In the opening verses, the apostle moves smoothly from justification by faith to the doctrine of sanctification, or the matter of the believer's daily living. Although the law given at Mount Sinai could not save anybody, once a person is saved, he is to live in obedience to God's moral law. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the theme of chapters 6 and 7 is grace removing believers from the realm and the power of sin. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Nailing the Antinomian Lie. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Amid the rabble-rout which hounded the Redeemer to his doom, there were some gracious souls whose bitter anguish sought vent in wailing and lamentations, fit music to accompany that march of woe. When my soul can, in imagination, see the Savior bearing his cross to Calvary, she joins the godly women and weeps with them. For indeed there is true cause for grief, cause lying deeper than those mourning women thought. They bewailed innocence maltreated, goodness persecuted, love bleeding, meekness about to die. But my heart has a deeper and more bitter cause to mourn. My sins were the scourges which lacerated those blessed shoulders, and crowned with thorn those bleeding brows. My sins cried, Crucify him, crucify him, and laid the cross upon his gracious shoulders. His being led forth to die is sorrow enough for one eternity. But my having been his murderer is more, infinitely more grief than one poor fountain of tears can express. Why those women loved and wept, it were not hard to guess, but they could not have had greater reasons for love and grief than my heart has. Nain's widow saw her son restored, but I myself have been raised to newness of life. Peter's wife's mother was cured of the fever, but I of the greater plague of sin. Out of Magdalene 7 devils were cast, but a whole legion out of me. Mary and Martha were favored with visits, but he dwells with me. His mother bare his body, but he is formed in me the hope of glory. In nothing behind the holy women in debt, let me not be behind them in gratitude or sorrow. Love and grief my heart dividing, with my tears his feet I'll lave, constant still in heart abiding, weep for him who died to save.
Oh,
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
We turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read at the end of chapter 5, but we're actually tonight starting in chapter 6. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Finishing in verse 2, the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Approaching Romans chapter 6, we must be careful to take note of two things. First of all, the close connection between chapter 6 and 7, for that matter, and the verses that immediately precede it in Romans chapter 5. There is a very close and a very important connection. The second thing we have got to take careful note of is that this, though connected intimately with what precedes, is no mere continuation of the message of chapter 5, but it commences a new section in which Paul uses what he has just stated in chapter 5 to launch out on the massive subject of how those whom God has justified live in relation to sin and the law. In other words, in chapters 6 and 7, the apostle moves on to the doctrine of sanctification, but not in the way that most commentators, or at least many commentators, imagine. He moves on to the doctrine of sanctification by carefully, and this is where the connection comes in, carefully showing that it is the logical, theological, and natural result of our justification. So that when he starts on his doctrine of sanctification, what he does at the beginning, and you see this in chapter 6, you will see it again in chapter 7. What he does at the beginning, laying the groundwork for this doctrine of sanctification and holiness in the Christian life, is to expound more carefully, more fully, or at least from a different angle, the great truth of our justification. Now, just how this section, chapter 6 and 7, how this section fits into the overall scheme of the book of Romans has long been a matter of controversy and dispute. The trouble is that, and this is nothing new, but the trouble is that in Paul's interpreters come to the passage with their preconceived notions, and they proceed to impose those notions on what Paul has here said, so that they use Paul's words to convey their thinking, rather than subjecting their thinking not only to a form of words, but to the words in their contextual meaning. If we allow Paul to be his own interpreter, and I have tried assiduously throughout these studies, to do that, to let Paul be his own interpreter. If we do that, first of all, it will save us a lot of trouble, and it will save us from a lot of error. Secondly, it will let us see just how seamlessly he passes from justification to sanctification, as I say, showing that far from being just two parts of the story of salvation, they are so intimately connected in his theology and thinking that justification is the basis of sanctification, and sanctification is the inevitable effect of justification. So that while they may be distinguished, and for the sake of orthodoxy must be distinguished, yet they may never be separated in the sense that you have a justified person who is not a sanctified person, or you have a sanctified person who has yet to attain justification. They cannot thus be separated. Allowing Paul to be his own interpreter will show us how that in doing this, the apostle continues expounding his doctrine of justification, justifying grace that yields for the people of God the fruit of security and therefore of assurance. And remember, I'm not going to prove this again and repeat it ad nauseam, but nonetheless, remember that in everything that follows the end of chapter 4, in chapter 5, in chapter 6, in chapter 7, and so on, Paul is showing the one supreme effect of justification is the security of the justified. And that is not far from his thoughts, obviously, then, when we come into chapter 6 and 7. May make it clear to you exactly how this fits into Paul's scheme. If I remind you something of what I've said again and again, as we have gone through his exposition, it seems to me that he takes the passage at the end of chapter 3, 21 through 31, as a sort of a text. And I have in past studies pointed out how he has gone back and, as it were, lifted out a phrase or a part of a verse from that passage of Scripture, and he begins to expound it. It is clearly more than accidental. It's not merely fortuitous. This is something that Paul obviously intended. Chapter 3, from 21 onwards, is a controlling text for what follows in the immediately ensuing chapters. Now, in chapters 6 and 7, it seems to me that he's going back to the end of chapter 3. He's lifting out as his text, verse 31. And he is saying, in effect, do we make void the law through faith? Does this way of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, does it then make void the law, as the Jews insinuated, as Judaizing professing Christians insinuated? And Paul's answer was, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now Paul is taking that text and he's going to work it out in some detail in chapters 6 and 7. As Pam sang for us tonight, and as I read again from the end of Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us there in verse 20 that the law entered that sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now the first part of that statement is amazing. I took time to deal with it last Sabbath night. The law entered, not as an answer to sin, not as a curtailment of sin primarily. I'm talking now in terms of our relationship of guilt or acceptance with God, not in any way to curtail the guilt and condemnation that comes by sin. The law did not enter, as some dispensationalist writers have told us, as a way of saving sinners. As if God, and this has actually been taught again and again, as if God offered salvation by law keeping to fallen man, and when that didn't work, then he brought in salvation by grace through faith. That has never been the case. The law did not enter in order to save from sin. The law entered that sin might increase. That the offense, as I pointed out, the primary reference there is to that one offense of Adam by which we are all constituted sinners. And then to all our own voluntary acts of sin on top of that. The result of the incoming law is that sin increases. And we're convicted of sin. And the reign of sin is all the more apparent. And the death that pursues on the heels of sin is all the more apparent. But if the law entered, that sin must abound. It means that in coming now into chapter 6, and then into chapter 7, Paul has to do something to show that God's way of justifying the ungodly by grace through faith alone deals with man's relation to sin. And Paul takes time first dealing with how believers relate to sin as a tyrant, then as a slave master. In chapter 7, he goes on to show how we deal with the law and deal with the flesh. In both chapters, the great theme is the power of grace. Chapter 6, the power of grace. Grace removes believers from the realm and the dominion of sin. In a nutshell, that's the whole message of Romans chapter 6. Grace removes believers from the realm and the dominion of sin. Chapter 7. Grace gives believers victory in their battle with the flesh. Again, in a nutshell, the message of Romans chapter 7. Now, this is the general place of this section in the overall scheme of Romans. Now we can get down to the details. Having just said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto life eternal by Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul commences chapter 6 with a question, indeed with two questions. First question is, what then shall we say? What then shall we say? The word then is important. It's a conjunction. But it's a conjunction that indicates in the clearest possible manner that the material that Paul is now getting into follows necessarily from what he has just said in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 5. Therefore, what shall we say? These things being so, that's the force of the conjunction. These things being so, what shall we say? In other words, Romans 6 commences with the question, what is the proper response to what I have just stated?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.